Morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading will be taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the lands. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
If you've heard the toddler's rules of possession, they are as follows. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it looks just like mine, it's mine. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. If you're playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. And if it's broken, it's yours. You know, one of the first things we have to teach our children as they emerge from infancy to toddler stage is the concept of sharing, isn't it? Some things are mine, most things are not. And it's a tough lesson for them to learn. It's a hard period of parenting in there because, you know, up to that time, they've just assumed everything was theirs. Think about it, prisons are filled with people who, for whatever reason, never learned that lesson. And sometimes when you observe how people treat each other, you realize that there's still a lot to learn in this department. In a similar way, one of the things that we have to learn in order to come to maturity in Christ is this concept of not mine. Not mine, but His. So we're taking a few lessons in the Gospel of John. We're sort of in the middle of that this morning with this title, Not Mine, But His. And last week we emphasized not my will, but His will. And also not my teaching, but His teaching. Today, we consider not my glory, but His glory. We talked last week about this great feast of tabernacles, sometimes called booths, in Jerusalem that Jesus attends in John chapter 7 and 8. And the text this morning keeps us in Jerusalem at the temple for this feast where Jesus is teaching, he's interacting with people. He's really, though, having a lot of conflict with those in the religious establishment, you might call them, who had set themselves up as his enemies. So I want us to pick up today in verse 48 of John 8. Now, just before that, very previous verse, verse 47, Jesus has said to these people something that did not sit well with them at all. He said in verse 47, John 8, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Now imagine saying that to a group of teachers and preachers and elders. You are not of God. Now, anybody that has this picture of Jesus as this mealy-mouthed wimp who walked around on eggshells all the time trying not to offend anybody really needs to read that verse again. In fact, this whole section of John really underlines the fact that Jesus was not really concerned about what certain people thought of him. the elites of his day, for instance. He didn't really care if Dr. So-and-so approved of his message. He didn't check in with old man Cranky Face or the local council of Squeaky Wheels to get an okay on his sermon. Jesus spoke truth. And he let the chips fall where they may after he spoke it, especially when it came to this group of self-righteous religious hypocrites that were opposing him. Jesus really embodied this attitude that I'm trying to put before us today from this passage. Not my glory, but his glory. What does the word glory mean? Well, it's really a big subject, too big and too important of a word to cover in one lesson. Just in the New Testament, it occurs well over 150 times, this word glory. We could trace it from Old Testament up through all the way through Revelation, and we could witness how the Bible sort of changed the way it was used. From its use in the world, the secular world at the time, to the way Scripture adapts it. In secular Greek, doxa, that's this word translated glory in the New Testament, it meant something like having a good opinion of someone, or a good reputation, or being worthy of praise, that kind of idea. Think about our view of that. I think most of us would prefer it if in general people thought well of us. You know, parents often as they train their children, they might use the method of exhorting them to keep a good reputation, to not do anything that would detract from the family name. And it just feels good, does it not, once in a while, to get some praise for doing something well. Would you agree with that? Shake your heads this way. It feels good to be praised at times. But Jesus teaches us here that that can go too far. You know, it can become our goal in life to seek the praise of man. And that is a critical problem if that's our view. We can become people pleasers to a fault. You know, sometimes people will lie and cheat just to maintain a good reputation. That's why people are sick of Washington, D.C. The Scripture says of Jesus in one place, "So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory, did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.'" See, the idea, not my glory, but his glory. John, later in his gospel, in the 12th chapter, he expounds on this idea even more. He talks about how even though Jesus did countless works of power and miraculous signs that a lot of people saw, people still did not believe in him. Think about that. Let me ask you today, if you saw Jesus do a miracle, would you believe? Would you? Are you sure? Because they didn't. And John says their hearts were so hard to the truth that they wouldn't believe their own eyes. They saw it, but they wouldn't believe it. And he says also that many even of the religious authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, the very people, the Pharisees, that they were most intent on either impressing or at least getting the approval of, because they were afraid of them, they would not confess their belief. Now, let me ask you this morning, did their belief in Jesus save them? A lot of preachers across the county this morning are telling people that believing on Jesus alone will save them. But did it save these people? Because they were afraid to confess it. Why were they so afraid? Because they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. That's John chapter 12, verse 43. And it is as true today as it was then. It may even be that there are some hearts in this assembly this morning struggling with that. You believe in Jesus, but you won't confess it. You won't take the next step. You won't repent. You won't be baptized into Christ. Why? Could it be you'd rather be glorified by man than God? Jesus says this way back John chapter 5. He said, I do not receive glory from people. And then he says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes only from God? Not my glory, but His glory. So let's go back to the temple and the festival. John chapter 8. Jesus, again, has just said to them, you are not of God. So how did they respond to Him? Let's take note of some words that are exchanged here. John 8, verse 48. The Jews answered Him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to Him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my words, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. Did you see what they did there in verse 48? After He had said to them, you are not of God. You see what they did? You know, in the first century, the N word had not been invented yet, but the S word had. They use what would have been an ugly, hateful racial slur to attack Jesus there in verse 48. And then on top of that, they accuse Him of being demon-possessed. You know, in nearly every verse of every story about Jesus Christ, there are incredible lessons to be learned. How does Jesus respond to being called a bad name, to being slurred? How does He respond? He doesn't. He doesn't respond. He ignores it. Now, check me out and look and see if that's not true. Jesus doesn't call CNN. He doesn't create a meme on social media and post it for everybody to see. He ignores it. Why? How? How do you ignore being called something like that? Because he is not about his glory. He is about God's glory. You know, they can call him whatever they want to call him. Call him all the names they want. They can think of him what they want. And they can spit upon him. And they can mock him and slap him. And they can nail him to a tree and laugh at him. How does he respond? He does not. Like a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. I wish I could be like Jesus here. But I care too much about what people think about me to be like Jesus. Do you identify with that? Jesus only responds to their accusation of being demon-possessed. No, they called him a Samaritan and then said he was demon-possessed. He does not respond to the name, but he does respond to being accused of demon possession because, see, that reflects on his Heavenly Father. And Jesus would never let people degrade his Father. Jesus was all about the glory of God. So he would defend God, but not himself. Not my glory, but his glory, you see. And so often today, people have that backwards. So often we have that backwards, don't we? That attitude. And so people will defend themselves but never think of defending God. Jesus goes all the way to the cross without defending himself in order to glorify God and to save you and me. There's so much here for us. But I want you to notice, in closing, verse 54. Lord says, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me. What I'm trying to get us to see here is true spiritual maturity. Now, if we could just live this way, not my glory, but his glory. Not my will, but his will. Not my teaching, but his teaching. Not my glory, but his. Not mine, but his. When we can get to the point where we're more concerned about what God thinks of us than what others think of us, then we will have achieved something. And God will be able to do so much more in us because of it. Because in the end, all that will matter is what God thinks of us. On that great day when we stand before our Creator, it won't matter what I think of you. God's not going to consult me about your eternity. It won't matter what I think. It's not going to matter what the national media thinks of you and what you believe and how you live your life. It's not going to matter what your boss thinks of you. It's not going to matter what the Kardashians think of you. All that will matter is God. and if you're right with God. Not my glory, but His glory. I ask you to think this morning about whether you're right with God, whether you're ready to meet Him. Now, you don't get yourself ready. Christ gets you ready. But if this morning the sky was torn asunder and this roof opened up and we saw the Lord descending in the clouds, are we ready? He will come in glory. Are we ready to share in it? Have we responded in faith to Him and in faithful obedience? Are you ready, nothing doubting today, for the Lord's return, which He's promised? I hope so. I hope every one of us is. And if not, won't you get ready today? Won't you respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, His death on the cross for you, and get into Christ this morning the way He taught us to get into Him? Be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. If you're not living faithful to that calling, won't you come back today? Be restored. And if we can be of assistance and offer prayer on your behalf about something that you're going through, we want to do that as well. So this morning we ask you, are you ready? If not, get ready while we stand, while we sing.